You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Scam World.
I'm Caitlin Bradnick.
And I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams. Yes, guys, we're nailing the openings because we're together.
We're together. There's no delay.
There's nothing happening except us.
Oh, pure, unadulterated comedy. <Us. laughs>
We're in the studio doing more scams for you because we love this goddamn podcast and we love you. And this is the most exciting moment for us. We have a phone call.
Voicemail.
From the Hot Tip Hotline.
Yes, this is how we react to every voicemail.
Yes, it's such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Again, if you have any hot tips, please call us because, you know, our happiness depends on it. The Hot Tip Hotline is 347-509-9414. And we have a message we're playing right now.
Take it away, Kate.
Go.
Hi, this is a message for Scam Wow. My name is Mackenzie Thomas. I'm a comedian based in New York and New Jersey, and I just realized that you guys haven't done an episode on Jilly Juice. Jilly Juice is like this crazy scam that this lady was running where she basically was trying to get a whole bunch of moms to drink cabbage water with salt in it, and it was ripping out the linings of their stomach. It was fucking awful. There was diarrhea everywhere. It was so bad. She was on Dr. Phil. It's great. Jilly Juice is what it's called. Jilly Juice, good stuff. My Instagram handle is just my name, Mackenzie, Mackenzie. Okay, bye.
Mackenzie.
Thank you.
First of all, that's my sister's name as well. And so I automatically love you and you're automatically invited to all my family
that's a
functions.
Great Instagram or Twitter handle, Mackenzie.
Yeah, Mackenzie, just Mackenzie.
Early adopter.
Yeah. So, okay, she just alerted us to Jilly Juice. And
I've never heard of this.
Neither
Kate,
have I.
Producer Kate has heard of it.
And apparently it's targeted to moms. And that makes me very mad.
We are on the wiki right now.
She's from Ohio. The woman who created it.
And her quote on the Rational Wiki, the Jilly Juice quote is, I'm proud of being a leader of a poop cult. Okay.
Yeah, no
created
thanks.
By Jillian Mai. Epperly. My T. Epperly.
Okay, so apparently, as Mackenzie said on the voicemail, it was cabbage juice and water that had been ripping out your stomach lining and your insides.
Oh, so she was saying drinking a gallon a day would cure you of any ailment, including autism, cancer, HIV, Down syndrome, and homosexuality.
No.
Not an ailment.
But it also, people were getting salt poisoning by doing this.
So don't drink cabbage juice, okay? Right?
Oh,
Jilly Juice. It sounds dirty.
It is So gross.
But it's gross.
I mean, did you lose weight? Guys.
But did it work?
Should I lose 10 pounds with Jilla Juice? No. I like my insides to stay, you know, pretty much inside.
Inside. But, I don't need them outside.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's insane. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, guys. Now we have a scam that Sue researched.
Yes. I researched a scam. It's from my memory and my mind, and I feel like I remember when this happened. I'm doing a scam called, a little scam called the Hipster Grifter. Ooh. Ever heard of it? Okay, my friends, the year was 2004. The state was Utah. You were just in Utah.
Okay.
The woman was Carrie Farrell, or Farrell, however you want to say it. She lived in Utah. She was a girl who scammed her way all the way around Utah. So in 2004, she was in Utah. She had this boyfriend that she met on MySpace named Casey Hansen, and she scammed him out of a lot of money. So she gave him checks to put into his bank account that she would then and have him give her the money. So she'd be like, here's a check for $5,000, put it in your bank account, and then withdraw and give me the money, give me the cash.
Were they faulty checks?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were from a closed account, and she gave him $10,000 worth of checks until the bank realized that the account was closed.
Was he having to pay for this money, or was it just the bank paying it?
Well, the bank was paying it, but then when the bank realized that he's doing this, it's all on him, all on his name. So it's bad. So she does this in Utah for like a few years. She racks up $60,000 in bad checks in Utah, and she becomes someone on Utah's most wanted list.
Okay.
Yes.
She created a name for herself.
Mm-hmm. A real name for herself. Mm-hmm. So then it's like 2008 rolls around. The thing that she's telling these guys that she's dating is that she's working for a company called Golden Voice, which is like a music PR company. I think they put on concerts and they do like record PR and that kind of shit. So she's dating a guy in Utah, and she tells him that Golden Voice is transferring her to Brooklyn. And then she moves to Brooklyn.
Is this a real company, or did she make it up?
It's a real company, but she does not
She doesn't
work there.
Okay.
No. She made up the job.
Okay.
She moves to Brooklyn in 2008, and she says she gets a transfer. And then, this is a very, like, specific moment in time when, like, MySpace is popular. She moves to Williamsburg. She hangs out at Union Pool. She does cocaine. She she gets a job at Vice Magazine. Her life mirrors mine in a lot of ways.
Very relatable Brooklyn stuff.
Except I quit the cocaine in 2007.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it straight.
She has a chest tattoo of a phoenix. Ugh. A giant chest piece of a phoenix. I love it. I love the audacity of a chess piece every now and then.
That's permanent.
So this is during the Gawker time, and it's a time when like Gawker is just like consumed with gossip. And I remember this time too.
I do too.
Yeah, it was great. I was on a message board in Williamsburg called Williams Board. every time someone posted something douchey, Gawker must have had like a plant on Williamsburg.
I'm sure.
Because Gawker would cover it every time someone says like something douchey. It had like a running thing of the dumbest shit that was on Williamsburg. So this is the time. This is the era in which we're living. We have not done public shaming yet. We have not done like cancel culture. That has not been introduced yet.
Okay. Because it's a MySpace years.
It's still a MySpace era. We're still living in a MySpace era. She has a cute pixie haircut, a phoenix tattoo. She lies her way into a job at Vice saying that she worked at Golden Voice.
Wow.
So saying that she's into music or whatever, she gets a job at Vice as an admin. They do not Google her because, again, if they would have Googled her, they would have seen she's on the Utah's most wanted list.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the phoenix tattoo, she also has a tattoo that says, I love beards.
Okay.
Yeah. it's peak 2008,
Williams.
I think. Yes. Peak Williamsburg. So her job at Vice lasted a week.
that's great.
Until someone Googled. Okay. So her job at Vice lasted a week. In that time, she came out, she was like hypersexual. She came onto one of her male coworkers there and she was like IMing him and was like, how many people have you slept with? Like, wow. Really, she really comes on strong.
Yeah.
And then after a minute of this like sexy IMs at work, he Googled her and found out that she was a con artist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to look that up. If 1 minute of coming on to you, you got to check that out.
Yeah, you got us. Like, this is before people regularly Googled you got hired for a job or anything.
Yeah.
So she was such a good con artist that she scammed this guy named Bobby after a Girl Talk show. Girl Talk was a band from the 2000s. She scammed this guy, stole his cell phone after the show, and he didn't realize that she had stolen his phone until months later. Like, he just thought he lost it. So
Girl Talk is a DJ who's amazing, and he does
really
like mashup music.
I love him. Really?
Yeah. But they're very like really fun big concerts, and everything goes really, really fast. So I could see how a pickpocket or con artist would do well there.
Like, it didn't even occur to him that she would have stolen his phone.
Yeah.
This is another scam she ran on him, that she would run on guys all over Brooklyn. She said that her ATM card didn't work and she had lost her ATM card. So she asked to borrow money, saying that she would pay it back from these guys and promised to pay it back.
Yeah.
Then she told Bobby that she thought she was pregnant.
Who's Bobby?
This guy that she's from the Girl Talk concert. She stole
the phone guy.
She told Bobby she was pregnant. She thought she was pregnant. She said she took 6 pregnancy tests. 3 were positive and 3 were negative.
That's not really how pregnancy tests
work. And then Bobby says, this is from, I think it's from the Observer article. I'll put these articles in the show notes, but like, our publications here are like very much from another time. It's like freewilliamsburg.com, invertedsoapbox.com, the Observer. It's just like
early
another
stuff.
It's like a time capsule,
yes,
this whole
con. Very sweet moment in time.
I love it. Bobby said, go to the gyno and get a real pregnancy test. And then she stopped bringing it up.
Yeah.
So another con, in addition to the money thing.
Wait, was she saying she was pregnant so she'd get money for him from an abortion or just in general? Or
I think just in general to like
Be supported.
Get the guy to stick around. Yeah. And another thing that she told multiple people was that she was dying of cancer.
Oh, I hate her now. I actually hate her. I hate that shit.
Yes, it's bad. And so when Bobby confronted her and was like, maybe you don't have cancer.
Yeah.
She said, I'm estranged from my parents. I don't know who my birth parents are. She's Korean. She was adopted. I'm really going over this quick. But Bobby
That's
was like,
true. She was adopted.
She was adopted. She's Korean, I think. Bobby was like, why would someone, she was saying she had 3 months to live. Bobby was like, why would someone who has 3 months to live move from Salt Lake City to Brooklyn? And then Bobby Googled her.
Go to the beach, right?
So she lied about having cancer. Yeah, just go to the beach.
Yeah.
She lied about having cancer, but she smoked pot. Virtually everyone says she told them she had terminal cancer with only months to live and she was constantly in the hospital. But like, I don't understand. Why was it just like a sympathy or like a codependent thing or like,
it's a way, if you say I have cancer, people don't ask as many questions. I feel like if
you
say I could be dying at any moment, your erratic or emotional or selfish decisions in life, people support.
Again, this is an era in which people didn't call that shit out. This is pre
Brooks.
Brooks. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Pre Brooks from Real Housewives of OC, when like lying of cancer is not common.
Yeah.
Lying about cancer is not common.
Not something you typically worry about.
Mm-hmm. So then she was fired from Vice, but said that she kept on working there. So she told people she was doing a book, a photo book for Vice of her beard tattoo next to people with beards.
Wow.
And she said she was doing a photo booth. It's so Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So dumb. Other hot exploits. She was at Union Pool and she passed a note to a guy down the bar that said, I want to give you a hand job with my mouth.
Ew.
And it was signed Korean Abdul Jabbar. That's like her Korean Abdul.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. So she also, at another location on Bedford Avenue called Fabian's, she also passed a note to another patron that said, I want you to throw a hot dog down my hall. So gross.
This is also like no way I wouldn't want to be involved in a penis in that way in any way. Like those just sound so gross.
It's so, overtly
aggressive.
Sexual and like
it makes you gag in the worst way.
But like this is what we were like, I feel like at this time we're like, this is what like cool Brooklyn men want.
Oh, so it was, yeah, it was like that manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah, or like they want us guys, to be clever. Guys, girl. Oh,
God.
This became like such a thing on Gawker and on the internet of the time when it was like.
So people were reporting this nuts.
Live. Yeah. Nuts. Like, where's the hipster Griffner? She was spotted at a party last night. Blah, blah, blah.
She threw hot dogs down at my face.
She threw hot dogs at my face. Bree Williamsburg has a scoop. And it was very much like this all happened in the span of a week. She got caught in Brooklyn and extradited to Salt Lake City.
Wow.
Where she spent 6 months in jail for the $60,000. That she racked
up. Only 6 months.
I know. It's pretty good. Long. And then she like leaned into this notoriety. So like.
Yeah, you got to.
Her Twitter was, I think, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was her Twitter name. Yeah. And she, I think she just loved the attention. She posted on Twitter, if anyone wants to write me in jail, this is my address.
Wow.
Yes. She loved it. It's like she was trolling people, like trolling the trolls before that was even a thing.
So she got internet access in prison. That's kind of nice.
I think maybe it was before she went in or something.
Yeah.
But it was like, if anyone wants to like write me a letter. So this was the last we heard of her, 2009. We were like, ugh, what happened to hipster grifter?
Yeah, where is she?
Then a couple of years ago, my friend Heidi was like, this girl emailed me trying to get in a film festival.
No.
Yeah. For like a PR thing.
And as Heidi to be her PR rep.
No, she's just like trying to get access to something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then in 2018, this editor named Connie Wang from Refinery29 tweets that the hipster grifter, she has just discovered that the hipster grifter tried to get into New York Fashion Week in 2016.
Wow.
And she like emailed New York Fashion Week on Refinery29 letterhead with very specific long letter of like, please allow Carrie Ensor, her new married name, access to New York Fashion Week. She's writing an article for Refinery29. She is trying to access this, this, and this, like very long letter.
Yeah.
Connie Wang finds this in 2018. This happened in 2016, but she doesn't
Did she get in?
She doesn't get in, but Connie Wang finds this in 2018 and is like, this is crazy. She posted on Twitter. And then she doesn't end up getting in, but then somebody else posts that she almost made it into New York Fashion Week. They had a seating chart printed out with her name on it.
Wow.
Where she was going to sit at New York Fashion Week, and then something happened and she just didn't get into it. Connie Wang is obsessed with her from Refinery, and that's it. She married a guy named Elliot Ensor. His internet persona is on lock, but his profile picture, he has very kind eyes. So
kind eyes, Elliot.
I want to know what's going on. Like when you Google her, when you Google Elliot, there's not a lot there. It's like it's been scrubbed.
There's no wedding website.
There's nothing.
No registry.
I mean, she probably has some like punny username that she has everything in or whatever that we just don't know about. But I have not found it. So if anyone has any tips, feel free to email us. GetMomPodcast.
Wow. Does she have an Instagram that we can stalk?
We can't. I can't find.
Wow.
It's probably like Hot Dog Hallway 69 or something that. I don't know. But I cannot find it.
Let me hand job you to heaven.
Hand job to heaven. So she, I think, was the original Anna Delvey.
Yes.
On a much smaller scale. And I kind of admire her.
I mean, we always will.
Yeah.
We always love the girl that does it. But
yeah. So that's the hipster grifter,
guys.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this one is kind of funny. So this was a time when like people posted ads on Craigslist to like hang out for like friends.
Early Craigslist.
Yeah.
It was kind of like harmless. There weren't any weird murderers.
Yeah. It was a different era.
Yeah.
So there was this one story from the inverted soapbox where a guy says, being new to New York, I decided to post personal ad on Craigslist pretending to be an unemployed pirate looking for a three-eyed hipster girl. Glasses plus eye patch equals three eyes. I don't know. I wrote it with a mixture of sincerity and ludicrousness, with the secret
and
hope
wanting to get laid.
Yes, okay. With the secret hope that someone interesting and attractive might actually come across it and respond. Most of the responses were from porn sites looking for subscribers. But then I got this very well-written note for someone named Kareen Abdul-Jabbar, listing about 7 reasons why I should want to get to know her, signed Carrie. And I have to admit, they were pretty compelling reasons. She talked about being into music and science, and she said she had a degree in physics. She attached a photo, and the tattoo on her chest of a phoenix was nearly as enticing as the pixie crop of the mild looking, and the mild look of benevolent disdain.
Ew.
She included a line indicating her enjoyment of giving handjobs via mouth, a phrase already on its way to Brooklyn infamy, and was both provocative and hilarious in its directness. Things turned strange a couple of days later. The day we were supposed to meet, April 2nd, we were texting back and forth, and we had decided to go to the Bob Ross tribute in the Lower East Side.
I went to that.
Really?
It was great, yeah.
Instead of having drinks in Park Slope, when out of nowhere, she sends me a message that says that something terrible had happened. I'm so screwed. Ugh, my debit card was stolen. Money is missing. My account frozen. No money. Rent due. Then, when he got an invite to her apartment, he got there at about 11 p.m., and the cute Asian girl opened the door. She was chubbier in real life than her digital picture suggested. Ugh. Her hair was shorter and her face rounder. And this, again...
This guy sucks.
This is, again, something that you could say in 2007, but not today.
He's still a dick.
But it was unchecked, you know?
Yeah.
She was cute but not pretty. A face marked by pimple scars, is what he said.
Whoa. Mm.
On the elevator up, I joked that it was brave of her to invite a strange boy over and that I could only assume she was going to tie me up and rob me. We started looking at voyeurism sites online, the sort of webcam things that mostly teenage girls are on or watch, except for a few adult couples who are just into that sort of thing. There's generally no nudity or sex, just people talking or perverts making chat comments about wanting 15-year-old girls to take their clothes off.
Who the fuck is this guy?
I know. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
She went back and forth between that and the end of the Jazz game. And since then, I've wondered how much of an effect their loss has had on the way the rest of our night progressed. The Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
After the game was done, we were watching a couple on webcam and she was criticizing the performers of being dull. She said that she could do better, but that we'd probably end up just having sex on camera. It was around that point that I kissed her. Nothing too intense, just a kiss and a hand in her hair.
I hope this guy
sucks.
Gets diseases.
I know. We're almost done.
Yeah.
Carrie smiled and stopped and said, I'm kind of trying to take things slow right now. I asked her what she meant and she said she didn't know. So I ran my hand through her hair
again, fast forward.
And said, okay. A few minutes later, I got up to leave. She walked with me downstairs and hugged me. I kissed her again, a perfunctory thing, and she said I was sweet. It was 2 a.m. I'll talk to you soon, I said, walking out the door. This is just...
His night recall?
Yeah.
Did he give her any money?
She didn't scam him.
No.
No. I wondered if I should have slept with her, if she had wanted to. I wondered why I would kiss a girl whom I wasn't attracted to. And over the course
of
the next couple of weeks, I wondered... what she was going to do, what she was doing. And I told a couple of friends what had happened, but it wasn't much to talk about, just another long line of fairly uninspiring gastromantic interactions. Fuck.
What a loser.
He deserved to get scammed. Fuck this guy so hard.
I wanted him to lose money.
I really did.
I hated the end of that.
This is why people hate hipsters in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's because of people like this.
And they call themselves that. Like, they're so proud of who they are.
Yeah, like, fuck you.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe he did, actually, now that I think about it, maybe he did lose money and just was too embarrassed to say it.
Maybe, yeah.
Because for her to complain about her debit card, her rent due, and then he came over, I'm sure.
Well, the thing is, it's like everyone wanted to be a part of the scam and a part of the story. So they were all talking about...
This is his confessional, as if he's like, I got my hands
I knew
that.
Her. Like, yeah. I knew her. Like, yeah.
What a loser.
Yeah, what a freaking loser. Fuck.
Wow, what a dick. I'm glad we outed him as a complete moron.
Yeah, so that's a hipster grifter.
Wow, that's so perfect.
Amazing.
Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
For your journalism. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Welcome back.
We just ate some pizza. We ate some pizza.
You're going to hear our squishy mouths. Guys, it's time for my scam, and I am so excited. I got this scam from someone who shall remain nameless and shall remain my husband because this is a scam that he thought was so bizarre, and it is. And I have to preface this by saying my younger brother, Connor, is a very talented musician, and he will hate this. So, Connor, if you're listening, please hang on.
Sorry, Connor.
Please stop listening. So this is a story behind the heavy metal scammer who they say is almost better than the scam itself. So it's been covered on Vulture. It's been covered on the 10 Daily, New York Times, Rolling Stone. Basically what this guy did is he created a three-piece band with him and two other guys, and they toured Europe and booked all of these shows in Europe, telling them that they sold out the shows, like huge venues in England, I believe even in France. And he posed as his own fake booking agent, and he faked live concert footage. Yes, when it was really B-roll from other concerts. And then
he told these places in Europe, oh, we are so famous, just book us.
We're sold out. He's guaranteeing he sold tickets. He's guaranteeing people will come. His name is Jared. Well, his front man is Jared Threaten. Just goes by Threaten.
Metal.
It's really weird. He's originally from Missouri. Real name, Jared Eames. And he created this band, went to California, created this band, and it was just a total hoax. And so if you look at the record label, the booking companies, the management companies are all registered to the same GoDaddy account.
Oh, no.
It was also discovered that the 38,000 likes on the band's Facebook page had all been bought. So he bought Instagram.
No.
He bought all those followers. And so he would tell people like 180 tickets were sold. And then apparently he was in Bristol and he played to an empty room.
Oh.
Yeah. And his wife would just be there taking video of them playing, like as if it's a concert, like they kept going. So after the first one, nobody showed up, they continued their European tour. And so it was all basically PR.
But why would you want to?
Like, so his point was to try to give himself enough notoriety, enough fanfare, sort of like all of our fake scam artists that people then rush to him and see what's happening.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Tana.
Tana.
Yeah, con. Event. That, yeah. The con that everybody has to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I feel bad for these music venues because they all had planned that they were going to sell these tickets and there would be people there. He actually has a really talented brother who is trying to like separate himself from his own brother. His brother's also in the music industry, and he's saying it's a hoax and he doesn't want to be a part of it at all.
But here's the thing. Okay, it is so excruciating to do a show for two people or three people.
But not for this guy. This is what this
gut-wrenching.
Yeah, we have done that.
I hate it. Yeah. I've done it many times.
Improv for three. I mean, it's horrible.
It's awful.
But this guy was kind of getting off on it because it was all this fake illusion. And he even tweeted a viral tweet. He said, "What is fake news? I turned an empty room into an international headline. If you're reading this, you're a part of the illusion." That's what he tweeted.
What a psycho.
Thank you all.
What a psychopath.
So he said,
"That's awful."
Yeah. He also is quoted saying, "I'm just trying to manufacture the bandwagon effect. I'm not some fucking rich kid. All this is good money management." So that doesn't make any sense. It's not actually, he's just creating hype. So that's what he did.
Reminds me of the guy from The Room.
Yes, Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, he seems just like Tommy Wiseau. Like maybe a little Asperger's-y, maybe a little, I don't know. It's weird.
So he would tell venues that he sold 291 tickets and three people would show up. And they said when people showed up, it was clear that even they were fake. Like nothing was a part of it. And so, yeah, they have pictures of him like making, like playing, his whole band would be playing. And they still show that on their Instagram with like, or video, Twitter with like fancy.
But you can do that from your practice space. Like you don't have to go to Germany.
Exactly.
To like do the shit.
So I think it just was all like a huge lie. And he just wanted to keep lying. Now, I have a video I'm going to play. It's so stupid looking, but it has like over a million.
It is very dumb looking.
Yeah, over a million views. And I'm wondering,
but they
like,
could be bought.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is bought. Mm. And he has like hair down to his belly button. And let me just play.
There is a, what do you even call that? Time. Like,
oh yeah, there's like a big,
time?
Yeah. He's looking in a mirror.
He thinks he's Michael Jackson meets something.
Kid Rock?
Like Kid Rock.
He's
singing
into a mirror, but he's moving his hands like they're on a guitar.
There is a
broken
mirror.
So he's like playing air guitar.
Yeah, air guitar, broken mirror. It's clearly self-produced.
Yeah. This guy is nuts. Okay.
And also the audio is out of sync with the video.
Yeah.
He's lip syncing, but it's fine.
And he's just seeing pictures of himself. It's just him playing every instrument, which,
oh my God,
as we know, because I've read more, that it's not just him. So two of the members that were on this tour with him that was terrible, his guitarist and drummer left midway through the tour. One of them couldn't leave right away because they couldn't afford to leave. So they were stuck and they were continuing throughout Europe. And then in May 2019, both of the guitar and drummer, they sued Eames and his partner for costs incurred during the UK tour.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Neither defendant attended the hearing. So this main guy didn't go. And Punera, I can't pronounce anything, was awarded $10,000 and $250 in court fees, and Dane Davis was awarded $3,000. And Deborah Davis, Dane's mom, was awarded $4,000.
Okay, that's what this is. This is kids.
Yeah.
This is kids, vanity projects, Europe. Like, this is bullshit.
It's children. So, yeah, so they filed lawsuits in... I mean, this guy, and he's on Metal Sucks. I mean, it's all over the heavy metal.
Wait, Metal Sucks is a website?
Yeah. So it says here, Davis's mother, Deborah, who sought recovery of funds she lent her son to book a return flight from Europe when the tour collapsed, as well as money she spent to fly herself to Ireland to see her son play, also sued Eames's and was awarded a total of over $4,000, including court fees.
Oh, my God.
I would totally do that for my kid. I would be like, I'm suing you, too. Let's just all go in it. So this guy is creating notoriety for himself, even if he thinks he's funny. And I think with psychopaths like that, I call them psychopaths.
He's a psychopath.
Because they are destroying venues. They're destroying their musicians' lives.
I'm surprised the venues aren't suing him.
Yeah,
because,
me too.
Like, for the money they lost, they could have booked a band and made actual money that night.
Yeah.
So they've lost money.
Yeah, I haven't. There's no record.
But maybe
right
they're
now.
In Europe, and Europeans don't sue as much.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah. Also, I think it's hard because when you're a music venue, you do sort of have to rely on good faith that the musician will bring people. And if mm-hmm. they don't, it's sort of a wash, too bad, because sometimes it's not the musician's fault. They're just doing the best they can. Mm-hmm. And it's not manipulative. I think it's kind of rare for a musician to ever want to play to an empty room.
Ever.
That's what's crazy.
No, I never want to play to an empty
room. No, so why would you think that if you're a booking venue? It's more just like we're slow in the winter or like it's a Monday.
Yeah. I never. That's like my worst fear. In fact.
Right. But for him, it was just like more PR fodder. Ugh. And I think it's disgusting.
It's hilarious.
And hilarious. And I don't like his music. Mm-mm. So
it is bad music.
Yeah. Hold on. So his first song is Living is Dying.
Living is dying now. Let's be honest.
And there's plenty of things on YouTube if you want to go into it. How on Rockfeed said how one band fooled the music industry.
Oh my God.
I mean, because I just think that.
The audacity.
Yes, and the need to, they say this with like acting too, like if there's no audience, there's no really performance. You're just doing it for yourself in an empty room. So to do that and to go to all of this extreme, it's just this like
so masturbatory.
Content news. Yes.
Yeah.
And this like buying followers. And that's why my brother is not on Instagram. He doesn't buy followers. He's just like, he wants his music to speak for himself. But how infuriating is that? When somebody is getting so much attention for just doing nothing. Yeah, so there's not tons of...
It's infuriating we're giving him this attention right
now. I know. He says he claims he was inspired by Andy Warhol and Andy Kaufman.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, he's an artist.
Who are you? Okay, so this guy sucks. All of the articles on him also are kind of like... There's not even that much to report on him. He's just sort of like kind of a loser from... somewhere where Missouri and trying to be cool. And
I don't know. He wants to be an influencer.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be a musician. He wants to be an influencer.
He's on Instagram and he has 16,100 followers. I know those are fake. Or they're just people. And there's just pictures of him with his hair.
Oh my God.
It's the same picture over and over.
And then a lot of
hands up on around his face.
Lots of drama with the hands.
Lots of drama. He's playing every single instrument, even though we know he's been sued by other bandmates. There's no band in any of this. You don't see anybody besides him.
Oh, there's one with just a jacket and no shirt. Leather jacket, no shirt.
Bare baby white chest, leather jacket and long hair. He has merch. Wow. Guys, this is a crazy person. Oh, and so he has Instagram stories from his tour. Germany, Ireland, Scotland.
My gosh.
And I will show you. I will play. Oh, all of the Instagram stories are just pictures of him in front of a flag saying, like, I'm coming.
From that country.
Yeah, there's no...
You guys.
His Instagram. And you look at tour 2018. It's B-roll of... some other concert, and then a picture of him in front of a cream background headbanging, and then back B-roll to another different concert, and then a close-up of him headbanging. So that's what this guy's doing, and he's getting a fuck ton of attention for it.
There you have it. Threaten. Go figure.
Oh, I hate this guy.
Go stalk him. You guys.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening.
This was fun. We love each other.
We love each other.
More so fun for us.
Listen, it was great to be in the same room together.
Yeah, it was.
Support us.
Yeah.
And if you support us, we can fly to each other more often.
Yeah, we're hoping if we get more Patreon friends and helpers, we can do some more trips together next to each other.
Yeah, we love that.
Also, as we mentioned before, if you guys have any hot tips or you know Threaten or anybody in that
scene, we
want to know about it. You can call us on our hot tip hotline, which is 347-509-9414.
And you can always email us your scams.
Yes.
Threaten or non-threaten.
Yeah, just tell us whatever's going on. We love you. We'll respond to your DMs.
Yeah, scamwildpodcast@gmail.com. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.